Hello, everybody. You're listening to Album Club here on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting to you from UBC's Vancouver campus, located on and around the unceded ancestral territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh peoples. I'm Seth. This is Album Club, and this is ABBA. That was the one and only ABBA. The four, I don't know what I was going to call them there. Superstars, we'll call them superstars. The four superstars themselves. Agnetha Fältskog, Björn Ulvaeus, Benny Andersson, and Annifrid Lyngstad. Annifrid, often known as Frida. And I know her as Frida. I only just, like, last couple of days learned that her name was Annifrid, which is where the other A of ABBA comes from. I've always wondered, like, I assumed that it made sense, but the ABBA is for each of their four names, A, B, B, A, Agnetha, Annifrid, Bjorn and Benny. Anyway, welcome to Album Club, friends. That was ABBA's massive hit, Knowing Me, Knowing You. Why am I playing ABBA? Well, you might be able to work it out. I know Canadians don't really care about this thing that I'm going to sort of hint toward, and that will make sense when we get towards the end of the show. But here on Album Club, we like to play little snippets of three albums. One old album, one new album, and one Canadian album. Those are fairly loose tags, but categories. But that's roughly how we do the show. And we're starting off with our old album today. It's ABBA's Arrival. As I say, there is a particular reason I'm playing you some ABBA this week of all weeks. And it might become even more clear with our second album, with our Canadian album. And then come our last album. It will all make sense, even if you might roll your eyes at me a little bit. Anyway, ABBA's Arrival. A massive, massive album. ABBA... We all know ABBA. Shot to fame with Waterloo. But really, their subsequent releases... didn't massively explode their popularity until the album Arrival, and in particular the staggeringly successful hit, the biggest hit they ever had, Dancing Queen, which was actually originally going to be called Boogaloo, and it was based on according to Wikipedia / the liner notes of a re-release of this album, in particular, it was quite heavily based on George McRae's Rock Your Baby, which I love. It's a brilliant song, and I can definitely hear it. Now it's been pointed out to me, I can definitely hear the similarities there between Rock Your Baby and Disco Queen. But they're both bangers, so I've got no problem with that, and seemingly George McRae doesn't either. But yeah, just a phenomenal album. It exploded them into true superstardom. It was a number one hit around the world, and Dancing Queen was obviously a number one hit around the world, as were several other of the singles from this album. Money, 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 which weirdly wasn't that successful here in Canada. I only got something like 47. But Knowing Me, Knowing You, and Fernando was really, it was a released on a greatest hits compilation just before this album was released, but it was released on the album in Australia and New Zealand, so I'm counting it. But yeah, Fernando and Knowing Me, Knowing You were both top five hits. I think one was a number four in Canada, and the other was a number five. Money, 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 for some reason, not quite so successful here, but yeah, just like cracking pop singles, pop disco-y or Euro disco, I guess, kind of singles. But what else of the album? What about the tracks that were not quite as successful? Oh yeah, the other thing I should say about this album. Last week I played you some stuff from Harry Belafonte's Calypso, which was, I learned, inducted into the National Recording Registry of the Library of Congress. So was ABBA's Arrival last year. In 2024, it was included in the inductees. So that's now consecutive. That's also one of the reasons I picked Arrival as the particular ABBA album I wanted to play this week. So yeah, it's consecutive weeks with albums from the Library of Congress, or the National Recording Registry of the Library of Congress, that are culturally, historically, or aesthetically significant. And that's the kind of basic rubric. Anyway, this album that was... I still find this bizarre. this album that was inducted into the United States National Recording Registry by the Library of Congress, that brought us such even modern-day massive hits as Dancing Queen and Knowing Me, Knowing You, starts off with a song called When I Kissed the Teacher. And it's like a little ABBA-y pop song about kissing the teacher. I mean, credit to them, they can still make a catchy pop song out of that, but I think we will leave that there and move on to the rest of the album. Which then we get Dancing Queen, and it's like, okay, this album might actually be very, very good. We get My Love, My Life, I should say, is a really nice little song, actually. I really like My Love, My Life. A fairly kind of ABBA-y song, nothing that's really going to blow you away. It kind of reminds me a little bit of Knowing Me, Knowing You that we just played and that comes a couple tracks later on in the album. It also kind of reminds me of, like, The Winner Takes It All. You know those kind of, like, slightly devastated ballads? It never gets quite as big as those. And similar for tracks a little later on, like like Tiger or That's Me later on. Those are the kind of tracks within this album that, like, just kind of make sense as ABBA pop ballads. I think that's what they do very, very well. Much like the second artist, I suppose, that we're going to have on the show today. But we'll get to that when we get to that. And then, yeah, knowing me... Oh, then we get Dum Dum Diddle, which is another sort of Abbery pop song. Apparently they didn't really like the words Dum Dum Diddle, and it was supposed to be a placeholder for something else, and no one could come up with anything better, so they went with Dum Dum Diddle. But the tracks I really like on this album, Arrival, the title track, is a real, although not the eponymous track. It didn't give the album the name. The album's name was settled way before this piece of music was written. But Arrival's a really nice little song, just a nice instrumental piece with some nice kind of vocal harmonies towards the end. Actually, the vocal harmonies almost get to be a bit much, but it's a really nice instrumental piece. The track I'm going to play for you, though, is called Why Did It Have to Be Me? There were two bonus tracks on the Australia-New Zealand release of Arrival. One of them was Fernando. The other was called Happy Hawaii, which later on came to be Why Did It Have to Be Me? Just like Dancing Queen was originally called Boogaloo, Why Did It Have to Be Me? Was originally called Happy Hawaii. And they decided to rework it, and it became Why Did It Have to Be Me? And then they put the original Happy Hawaii as a bonus track, but it's surprisingly rock and roll. I didn't expect something quite so rock and roll, and you can hear the similarity between Happy Hawaii and Why Did It Have to Be Me. But yeah, the really surprising thing is just how rock and roll this is, like proper 60s rock and roll. It'll make sense when you hear it. Oh, maybe it won't make sense, but you'll understand what I'm saying. So it was just quite a nice surprise to hear something a little bit different. And there are a couple of kind of slightly different sounds on this album, especially when you pass through the whole thing, like Dancing Queen versus Knowing Me, Knowing You. I know they're both massive hits, but actually they're very, very different songs. And I think sum up some of the kind of dichotomy of ABBA. They can do those really good pop ballads, and actually they can do just really good dancing disco songs. And I really love both of those kind of vibes. But Why Did It Have to Be Me is just a little bit different. It's something a little bit unexpected. So from ABBA's monstrously successful 1976 release, Arrival, this one is called Why Did It Have to Be Me? Nights can be empty and nights can be cold. ABBA's Why Did It Have to Be Me? What a nice little... Wasn't that a jaunty little rock and roll song and not really what you were expecting from ABBA? Excellent. I really loved finding that one. It's a nice little album arrival. If you just, like, stick it on, you will hear some massive, massive ABBA songs that you absolutely love, and some other little bits and pieces that are kind of a bit fun and a bit unexpected, like Why Did It Have to Be Me? An arrival. Yeah, a lovely little album. All right, well, we're going to get onto our Canadian album shortly, but before we do, we've got a couple of other little features on this show that we like to do to just to, you know, keep things interesting, keep it fresh. I am a great proponent of going into record stores and buying cheap records. I really like going into, and there's some, I say it every week, there's some great record stores in Vancouver. I'm on Commercial, Kits, Main, Downtown. They've all got nice little spots. And pretty much every record store somewhere around has some sort of bargain bin. It might be like a Toonies bin. It might be $10 and under. It might just be the cheap bin. Zulu Records and Kits has absolutely tons of them. It's got like a whole, like, it's got like five crates of $3 records that are like, or $5 records that are like 3 for $10, and like some $3 records that are 3 for $5, and some $1 records upstairs, tons of them. And you can just dig through for hours if you really want to. And just find something that looks visually interesting. That's all I'm saying. Just look for something that looks visually interesting, that catches your eye. And that's, you know, if nothing else, just a cool thing to put on your wall. Even if the music turns out to be rubbish, because you don't know what it is, you just think, that looks cool. Then if nothing else, you've got a cool thing to put on the mantelpiece, or, you know, stick a couple hooks in the wall and bounce it on the hooks. You know, there's all sorts of things you can do with this art. I think the pairing of album art with music is a brilliant skill, and we get two bits of art in one when we buy a record. And to prove that, I each week like to bring in a cheap record that I have bought. For $10 and under. That's what we call this section, $10 and under. Today, I have a record that cost me exactly $10, ignoring tax. It's actually not one that visually I find super arresting. You know, it's cool. It's got a cool album cover. It is a man, the artist in particular, kind of crossing his arms in a slightly sort of, I don't know, confrontational pose, maybe? I don't know. Who is that man, though? That man is Little Steven, and the album is Voice of America. Little Steven... Stephen Van Zandt, one of Bruce Springsteen's best friends, quite frankly, his right-hand man. He was in the E Street Band for years and years. He's back with the E Street Band for the last years and years. When I saw The Boss perform with my mum, shout out mum, who I think is listening and is a big Bruce Springsteen fan, we saw him a couple of years ago now in Hyde Park in London. I think Stephen Van Zandt was there. Blowing away on his saxophone. Yeah, legend. And he had a reasonably successful solo career. And actually, the reason I know so much about Steve Van Zandt is because when I was flying to this continent, I can't remember if it was my flight to America or my flight from America to here, I watched a documentary on the plane about Steve Van Zandt. I think it's called Disciple. It's a really nice documentary, and it turns out he had an incredible career, just like full stop. I've never seen The Sopranos. I am about to start watching it, so no one send any spoilers or anything, and no one tell me off too much. But he was in The Sopranos. He was in a Netflix show called Lilyhammer that I started watching that I got a bit bored of, actually. But yeah, an incredible acting career. He was in various other things as well. And... pretty decent solo music career, very successful career as part of the E Street Band, and also an incredible career, one doesn't really have a career, I suppose, but a life spent fighting for civil rights and sort of international civil rights, I suppose, was genuinely hugely influential in apartheid in South Africa being brought to certainly American public consciousness. He actually spoke at the UN on the subject of apartheid. Like, he was genuinely an incredible... He at one point smuggled himself into, like, segregated South Africa in a probably really quite dangerous way, just to kind of get, like, first-hand footage and really be able to tell people and show people what it was like in segregated South Africa. So quite incredible man, a real polymath, and by all accounts, just, like, actually a really lovely guy as well. I believe still married to his first wife, if not certainly the wife to which he's been married for a long, long time, and they are deeply happy together. And yeah, just Steve Van Zandt, an absolute legend. So I got here not long after I got to this country, having watched this documentary on Steve Van Zandt, flicking through some records, and I found Voice of America for $10. And I was like, well, there we go. It's meant to be. So I'm going to play... I've actually not listened to the record, despite having had it for quite a while. I'm going to play a track called Out of the Darkness. It's the closing track to side one. And it's apparently sort of big, rocky, hair metal-y kind of thing. This album was not... like, it wasn't unbelievably successful. It's one of his bigger solo albums, and what's certainly one of the kind of more protesty ones. It was actually only his second album as a solo artist, Little Steven and the Disciples of Soul, from 1984, 4 weeks before his good friend The Boss released Born in the USA. And sometimes he could be a bit overtly political, but some of these tracks apparently very good. So we're going to listen to Out of the Darkness and find out if this is simply a good piece of wall art or whether I've actually picked up a good record. Shall we find out?
Oh, Are you a writer?
Listener?
Dreamer?
Music nerd?
Want to cover artists?
Visit venues?
Write something?
Events?
Personal essays?
Anything.
Submit to Discorder magazine and then take it a step further on Hail Discordia with your hosts, Zoe
and Izzy. Hail Discordia is an audio translation of Discorder magazine. We interview writers, play music and soundscapes, and do a deep dive of each zine issue. Hail Discordia plays at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the third Thursday of every month on CITR 101.9 FM.
Submit something for the magazine and come onto the show, or just tune in and listen. We promise it's worth it.
Feeling lost in the lonely, meaningless cyberweb? Looking to connect with other users? Then plug in to a CITR collective. Meet users who are compatible with your interests and passions. CITR's mainframe offers 9 unique collectives: news, arts, accessibility, sports, persons of color, indigenous, gender empowerment, LGBTQ2SIA+, and music affairs. CITR collectives are where you can make great radio, great friends, and avoid the abject loneliness of life in the cyber void.
Hello, you're listening to Album Club with me, Seth Spain, here on CITR 101.9 FM. We've been chatting about ABBA's arrival. We just had a little bit of Stephen Van Zandt with Voice of America, a lovely little record I picked up for just $10, just 10 of your Canadian dollars, which is an absolute steal. And I think a good record. My mum liked it. She pointed out as well, I don't know why I said, if you go back and listen, I'm sure you can hear the hesitation as I say Steve Van Zandt blowing on a saxophone, because I knew he wasn't the saxophonist. He's a guitarist, a guitarist and singer for both himself and for the boss. The saxophonist for the E Street Band, as Mum has checked for me, was Clarence Clemens, and is now his nephew, Jake Clemens, who we saw, which was very sweet watching him. It was such a cool performance. I say this all the time to anyone who listens to me about the boss, but that man is in his 70s, and he performed for 3 hours solid. It was just extraordinary. The only time he would pause would be when he would come down to the audience sometimes at the front of the stage and turn around and just, like, hang out at the front of the audience watching his band, because the E Street Band are themselves so amazing that he was like, well, I'm going to get some of this cool gig as well. And then he'd go back to rocking on, and it would be like the last kind of couple chords would fade out of a song and just straight into the next one. 3 hours solid. Extraordinary. That man is a machine. Right, we're going to talk about our second album very shortly, but we're quickly going to get ready for our next section as well, because it will give me more time, quite frankly. We have a big archive of records here in CITR, the CIT archives, if you like. And having just told you how much of a proponent of records I am, I'm also a proponent of digging through the archives and finding out what random stuff we got hanging around in there. So there are about 11,000 records in there, and I have a random number generator here ready to pick me one of those numbers from 1 to 11,000. So without further ado, our number today is 4,791. I'll go and find record 4791 while you guys are listening to our next album, which is Celine Dion's Dieu. I apologize for all the times I'm going to butcher French pronunciation, especially to my French housemates, who I'm sure will be horrified by some of the things I'm about to say, just in terms of pronunciation. But yes, this is Celine Dion's 10th album, and if you can't work out what the theme is by now with ABBA and Celine Dion, then there's no hope, or you're a Canadian. So, Celine Dion's, 10th album. To me is just bonkers that this was already her 10th. She just had something like 18 albums, and she, like, Celine Dion's not that old, she's 57, which is crazy. Anyway, this was her 10th album, and I think, her 13th album, her 10th in French. And like, I know Celine Dion is Canadian, and I guess if I'd really thought about it, maybe I'd have guessed she was Quebecois, but I just, still, because I come from an English-speaking world, I'm used to Celine Dion's English-speaking music. I don't think about the fact that she released a huge number of songs in French, probably more successful in French than she was in English in some ways. And Dieu, despite being her 10th French-language album, is the best-selling French-language album of all time. The best-selling album in France of all time. I think still. I think both these facts still stand. I haven't seen that they've been overtaken at any point. And it's also the best-selling non-English language album by a female artist, which is just crazy success for an album that I've, like, genuinely never even heard of, just because it's in a different language and also was released almost exactly 2 years before I was born. But that's by the by. There's lots of albums that came out before I was born that I know very, very well. But this is not one of them. So it's been really fun going through some Celine Dion. I thought about playing you the next album she released, the name of which completely escapes me for the moment. But Falling Into You, which was also hugely successful. I think it was her first Grammy win, 1996. It was an English language album. And could have played you that. But I thought, I gave it a listen. And I was like, well, this is fine. This sounds like what I think of Celine Dion. Lots of kind of power pop ballads, fine. And then I listened to Dieu, and was like, well, this is the album I'm going to be playing for these guys, because it's just, I don't, this is going to sound really cruel, but I don't mean it to. It's just a lot more interesting than Falling Into You. There's just different things going on throughout the album. Like the opening, oh God, there's so many French names, what have I done to myself? Pourquoi tu m'aimes encore? I did look up what all of these name, but all these mean in English, but I've no idea where I wrote those all down. So we're just going to get the French versions. Again, it's like pretty solid Celine Dion vibes. It does have some kind of interesting things going on. There's a bit more pop to it than just a ballady kind of thing, which comes later in the album. Something like J'attendais, later on in the album, or like Voler. I'm so sorry. Tracks like that later on are like really classic Celine Dion kind of ballads. The opening track is a bit more poppy, as are some of the other tracks in there, like Destin. I think that's how we're going to pronounce it. Cherchez Encore as well later on, a little bit more pop. Not Destin. Destin is one of the tracks where I think you do get kind of something a bit more interesting. And I almost played it for you. In fact, I very, very nearly played it for you. It's like, honest to God, pop rock. Like, really properly rocky. You get, like, hints of rock through other Celine Dion songs. Like, Regardez-moi, the third track, is, like, almost a little rock and rolly kind of thing. It's almost a little bit like that ABBA track I just played for you, in some ways. But Destin is, like, honest to God, pop rock. And, like, pretty good pop rock at that. It's got some nice little, No, ignore that. Interestingly, was not very successful on the radio in Quebec. Lots of this album was, but that one was not very successful on the radio in Quebec. They did not want pop rock from Celine Dion, it transpires. But I'm going to play you a couple of tracks from the album, as I tend to do. I'm going to play you Le Ballet and Je Sais Pas. Now, those I know I can pronounce. Now, Le Ballet, I think, is a fantastic song. You've got this really cool little like rock and roll guitar that kicks things off, and he's like snapping little finger clicks. And Celine Dion's vocal is like really, really soft. It's almost kind of whisper, and it's like, it feels properly bluesy. It's like a jazzy, bluesy little song. It's got some harmonica in there. It feels very French. I know that's a silly thing to say for a French language album recorded in France, written and produced by French songwriters and producers. But it has a bit of the, like, Serge Gainsbourg, like, to be honest, the only Serge Gainsbourg album I really know is L'Histoire de Melanie Nelson, and that's got its own problems. But there is a kind of, like, sound, a feel to that production style. There's a kind of, like, almost like an imminent threat, an ominousness that I think is perhaps inherent in bluesy music as well. But yeah, Le Ballet is, I think, the song on this album that the most captures what I think was that kind of French production style. And then Je Sais Pas is... The reason I chose it over Destin, is because I think it's perhaps more honest to what Celine Dion generally produces, which is to say poppy ballads. Whereas Destin is definitely like pop rock. This is a bit more ballady. It takes a good sort of minute and a half before we get anything, really, aside from like this quite restrained but quite clear, powerful vocal and a little hint of synth. And like, I'm going to say these like tippy-tappy toms that to me really evoke like 80s synth pop. Like, I don't know, a George Michael or someone. I don't even know if that's accurate or not, but that's what this sound makes me think of. And then eventually you get kind of like this, the more or less fullish drum kit, like almost halfway through the track, and it's a 4.5 minute track. Kind of like maybe Sinead O'Connor vibes here and there. Like, it is kind of a power pop ballad, but I think just a more interesting one. And you get harmonica in there, and I'm a sucker for harmonica. So, yeah, I think this is what we'll have from Celine Dion. I'm going to run off and see if I can find record number 4791. And in the meantime, I'll leave you guys with Celine Dion from her incredibly successful album, Dieu. First up, we got Le Ballet, and then Je Sais Pas.
Ça t'arrive sans cri gare au milieu d'une heure incolore. Un geste, une odeur, un regard qui comme déchire ton décor. Ce cœur qui t'avait presque oublié se pointe à ta porte et se remet à cogner. Attention, le ballet va commencer. D'abord à une erreur. Tu l'évites et lui te devine entre le désir et la peur. Tu t'entends lui dire des phrases sans aucun sens. De ses reins qu'elle a noté en doux, car le ballet va s'animer. traversée des mers, je saurai faire des fées, des machines, narguer des lois, les foudres divines, ça m'effraie pas. Je sais prendre un coup, rendre si rivés des clous, ça j'ai appris. Je suis pas victime, je suis pas colombe pour qu'on m'habille. Je sais les hivers, je sais le froid, mais la vie sans toi, je sais pas.
That was Celine Dion, Je sais pas, which I think means, well, I looked it up, means I don't know. I would have said je ne sais pas, but apparently je sais pas also means I don't know. I'm sure my French housemates will tell me off and tell me I'm wrong when I get home. Apologies. And to any Quebecois listening. And before that, Le Ballet, both of those from Dieu, her 10th French language album, her 13th album overall, and just about the most successful French language album of all time. Okie dokie, we will very shortly get on to our final album, which is, well, I'll tell you when we get there. It's going to be our new album. It's a bit of a stretch, but go with me on it. But before that, we're going to have our CIT Archives track. We have picked out album number, oh, have I got rid of my number generator? I think it was 4791. Have I got my record here? Yeah, 4791, which is Clive Pig and the Hopeful Chinaman. This is actually a UK artist. I found that there was a whole little website that Clive Pig put together called www.clivepig.co.uk. I'm going to give you a very quick summation of what it says on his website. Clive Pig, a.k.a. Mr. Storyfella, is a storyteller, poet, songster and potato juggler. Born in St. Albans, Hertfordshire, UK, he attended the Muriel Green Nursery School. I actually grew up very, very close to St. Albans for the first 9 years of my life. I was born in Cambridgeshire, but I grew up very close to St. Albans in Hertfordshire. Anyway, not the point. Since the age of five, when he stood on a stage at Butlin's holiday camp and sang a song made up on the spot, Clive has been creating and performing in one form or another. Brought up in a house next to the gasworks, on summer evenings he'd perch in a pear tree, penning poems to the sound of steam trains chugging by. He formed a band, Clive Pig and the Hopeful Chinaman, and his first single, Happy Birthday Sweet 16, was a new wave cult classic. In the 80s, Clive toured the USA and Canada as a singer-songwriter and recorded three albums. In the meantime, he studied mime and physical theatre in London with Desmond Jones and in Paris at the École Philippe Gollier, which propelled him into street performing, theatre and education, community arts, children's theatre, and a one-man show at the Fringe, the Edinburgh Fringe. Yeah, so that's a little pricey on Clive Pig. I guess this is going to be new wave. We're going to have Happy Birthday Sweet 16, since it's the only one I've kind of seen mentioned anywhere. I don't think it's a cover of the Neil Sedaka song Happy Birthday Sweet 16, which has the word 16 written out, whereas Clive Pig's version has the number 16 as digits. So I don't think it's a cover of the Neil Sedaka song from the 60s. I think this is its own new wave beast. So we're going to find out. Let's dig into the CIT archives, shall we? Is this worth keeping? You tell us. Oh, that is the wrong button. Should we try again? You tell us.
Happy birthday. rise for exams, so they have to get drugs tomorrow. Happy birthday, sweet 16.
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 Radio show
is brewed fresh and served fresh at the peak of its flavor. If you're a tough customer, only the taste of this
radio show
will do. So go ahead, let Dunkin' Donuts make your
radio experience
exquisite
indeed.
Dunkin' Donuts, serving sweet treats from the Pop Underground, Thursdays, noon to 1.
Looking for an audio escape to put your mind at ease? Landscapes by Dune is a musical journey through sampling and field recording. From the busy streets of Toronto to BC's picturesque landscapes, the Belgian artist recorded an array of sounds during his travels across Canada. Landscapes will be released on Pop Qatari Records Bandcamp on December 8th and will be available on all streaming platforms on December 15th. For more information, check out at Dune as Dune on Facebook, Instagram, and SoundCloud.
Hello, we are going to have to race through the end of this because I have spent far too much time talking about our first set of albums. And I should hit play in about 11 seconds, but I'm not going to. Our final album on Album Club today is the official Eurovision album. I know it's not really an album, but you can buy the album of all the songs from Eurovision. And it was Eurovision this weekend, and I love Eurovision. I had a great time watching it. It was quite fun watching it in the middle of the day. It started at midday, and it finished at 4. It was quite fun. It was brilliant. Eurovision's always wonderful. I love it. Just have fun with it. That's the most important thing. It turns out the French, not big fans of Eurovision. They're a bit snobbish about it. They think it's a bit kitsch. I love that it's a bit kitsch. My housemates were not that interested, but I had a great time. I'm going to play you two tracks. I'm going to play you the winning track, which is called Wasted Love by Austrian JJ. Massive congratulations to them. A well-deserved win. I didn't think it was going to get a big public connection. I was really surprised when it did. The juries loved it because it's a brilliant song. It's kind of like opera, like a mini kind of rock opera, and then it briefly turns into a massive dance track at the end. It's just brilliant and weird. But I'm going to play you my favourite song, which actually came fifth. I was pleasantly surprised. It's called... I was listening to it earlier and practicing the name. Volevo essere un duro. I Wanted to Be a Tough Guy by Lucio Corsi. It's the Italian song, and it's just a wonderful kind of ballady thing. It sounds like an Elton song or a Billy Joel song. I love it. He had like a white kind of painted face on, and it was beautiful and fantastic and weird, and it's kind of glammy and ballady, and it's just brilliant. And I'm going to go and listen to loads more Lucio Corsi in the near future. But massive shout out to JJ as well for a well-deserved win with Wasted Love, a good Eurovision song for sure. And I look forward to Austria hosting next year. I would better leave it there because, as I say, I've run out of time, so we're going to have to zip through. But thank you so much for listening, everybody. This has been Album Club. I'll be back next week. If you've got any thoughts on the albums I've played today, let me know. If you've got any albums you want me to talk about, let me know. If you want to come on and talk about an album, let me know. Just get in touch. It's always nice to hear from people. And so, playing out the show will be JJ with Wasted Love. But before that, we have Lucio Corsi with Volevo Essere Un Duro. Goodbye.
Volevo essere un duro che non gli importa del futuro. Un robot, un lottatore di sumo. Uno spaccino in fuga da un cane lupo alla stazione di volo. Una gallina dalle uova d'oro. Però non sono nessuno, non sono nato con la faccia da duro. ho anche paura del buio. Se faccio botte le prendo, così mi truccano gli occhi di nero. Ma non ho mai perso tempo, è lui che mi ha lasciato indietro. Vivere la vita è un gioco da ragazzi, me lo diceva mamma ed io cadevo giù dagli alberi. Quanto è duro il mondo per quelli normali che hanno poco amore intorno o troppo sole negli occhiali. Volevo essere un duro che non gli importa del futuro, no, un robot, medaglia d'oro di sputo, lo scippatore che t'aspetta nel buio, il re di Porta Portese, la gazza ladra che ti ruba la fede. Vivere la vita è un gioco da ragazzi, me lo diceva mamma ed io cadevo giù dagli alberi. Quanto è duro il mondo per quelli normali che hanno poco amore intorno o troppo sole negli occhiali. Volevo essere un duro, invece che una stella uno star muto. I girasoli con gli occhiali mi hanno detto stai attento alla luce, e che le lune senza buche sono fregature, e che in fondo è inutile fuggire dalle tue parole. Sono altro che luce.
I'm an ocean of love and you're scared of water. You don't want to go under, so you let me go under. I reach out my hand, but you watch me grow distant, drift out to the sea.